Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 307. If you'd like to have a copy of it, a CD, or a audio tape, we'll send one to you. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can refer back to it all the time. Right, we have music. We have testimonials, and we have a strong message today regarding some of the things from the book of Numbers, chapter 16, and some of the Hitler speech that the Lord wanted me to tell you, or to get your head on straight as to some of these world leaders that have been... have done a lot of evil things, but they thought they were doing right. One of the things that Hitler did that was right was to pull out of the UN. And he didn't seem to be afraid of the United States of America, who was leagued in with the United Nations. They had just bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki with the atomic bomb and annihilated them. And so they were very happy to join the UN for fear that the UN would sick us, like you sick a dog, onto whoever it is that you want to, a mad dog. And so they joined reluctantly but quickly, because they didn't want a atomic bomb down their throats. And today we happen to be the world power that the whole world is shaking at. Only militarily, because of all of them together make a vote, all the United Nations together make a vote that has robbed the United States of its power, of its economic power, of its industry, and much more. This nation was built on In God We Trust, and now we've allowed them to come in with their European world government, Roman Catholic government that the pilgrims fled from many years ago. So the thing that we need to do is listen to this program and see what you think. Let me know what you think about these things. We have, as I mentioned, some music and testimonials and some Bible reading. Now let's go to the, I want you with me to go to the throne. If you've ever prayed before, we're standing at the end of time, and we really need to learn to talk to God and to listen to Him, because what He has to say is a lot more informative than what you're going to be saying to Him. Father, let the information that you want the people in the world to know come right down through my mouth, through your mouth, from your mouth through mine, and into their hearts and souls, their spirits. And Lord, let the things that you want them, that you command them to know, let them be powerful enough after they receive you into their heart to do something rather than just pray about things. You stated that we're going to be judged by the works that we do in this body of ours, the works that we allow you to do in this body. We're going to be judged for it. And the Apostle James stated that he'd show you his faith by his works. He'll show everyone his faith by his works. One of the greatest things that this country must do is to get born again of the Spirit, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, read the Word, pray without ceasing, constantly, pray always to you about the things that are happening in this world, for you to put your hand down. Lord, if we call upon you, you'll do it. You did it in Egypt. You did it many times. You did it in Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities of the plains there. And you did it when people call upon you, you hear. If they're Christians, then you answer and show them great and mighty things. Lord, that the church is strengthened and that more souls are added to the body of Christ that they become saved and allow you to work in them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, I did a series of songs with J.D. and the Stamps Quartet. And this is one of them. It's from the book of Revelation. John said, I, John, saw all these different visions from the Lord. And I, John, heard what the Lord said. And so here it is. I, John.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Mighty, well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east,
and there were
three gates in the west,
and
three gates in the north, three gates in the south,
and that made
12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, God Almighty, will I chant somebody number? Well, in the middle of the year, will I chant somebody number? Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, I wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Cause he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice and said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, God the mighty, know that I chant somebody number. Way up in the middle of the air, I chant somebody number. Way up in the middle of the air.
Praise the Lord. Yes, that's fine. We're living in the day of the book of Revelation, where the mystery of the Lord now, the mystery of God is revealed, and the mystery of iniquity is revealed. These things that I'm telling you are things that the Lord has revealed unto me to tell unto you, so that you could know how close it is to the end of the time, of the end of time. Now, God has stated that these things shall be known in the last days. The Lord even told me what the 7 thunders were, and these were not to be written or told until the last days on earth. And so this is quite a supernatural ministry. It's nothing to do with me. I don't know anything. I'm just an ordinary person. I feel like Amos. My dad wasn't a prophet. I was no prophet. He said all he was doing was he was a farmer, and the Lord came to him, and that's what happened to me. I was a promoter. I was in the office, and the Lord came to me, and then the Lord showed me who I was supposed to be married to, somebody that really knew God, really knew God. And she helped me out a lot, and she was the sweetest and the most beautiful and the most godly woman that could, or even man. I've never heard any man like that before in my life. And so We did a great work for the Lord when he put us together, and it's still on. It's still on. We're all over the world now, and everybody is very fashionable, even for politicians to lie, to say that they're Christians in order to get voted into office, because so many people claim to be Christians. But how many are doing the works of the Lord? The Bible says that he'll show. James said, I'll show you my faith by the works that I do. And the Lord says he's going to judge us for all of our works. So the mystery of God is revealed, and the mystery of iniquity is revealed. And so now you have nothing to do but make a choice as to whether you're going to accept the Lord or Satan. If you don't accept the Lord, you're not with the Lord. He says, if you're not with me, you're against me. And I'll guarantee you, you're not going to win the battle if you're against the Lord. Okay, so satanic ambitions. I've been talking about that. We're in the book of Numbers. It talks chapter 16 about a bunch of people trying to take over the ministry. Dathan and Abiram and people like that. They thought that they were just the same as Moses. And Aaron, of course, Aaron had to do what Moses told him to do. And they lost everything that they had. God opened the earth and swallowed Dathan, the members of his family, his children, and everybody into hell, because God said that he called Moses to lead the people out of the land of Egypt, because they were being beaten, abused, everything. So, but these two, Dathan, Abiram, and 150 others, I said, we're the same as you. You're no better than we are. And it's true that they are no better so far as they were called. They were part of the congregation, but they were not the leaders. God tells who the leaders are. So satanic ambitions happen to be covetousness, and that's one of the big Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments is to covet. So ambitions are covetousness. Well, some people say we're supposed to be ambitious, but ambitions, the devil disguises them, covetousness, as ambitions. You know, if you're ambitious to take over something that doesn't belong to you, that is covetousness. I mean, if you're a married woman and you want to take over some other man or go to bed with another man, or if you're a man that wants to go to bed with some married woman, you're very ambitious, my friends. But you're very covetousness. That's what it is. And Satan covers covetousness is that all is fair in love and war. You know, I'll go to bed with whoever I please. No, you might do that, but you're not going to get away with it. So if God has given you a purpose, if he's given it to you and you are humble, you'll know what it is. Now we're going to chapter 16 of the book of Numbers and read verses 13 and 14.
Okay. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey?
Okay, go ahead.
To kill us in the wilderness?
This is what the Jews said. First of all, they hated Egypt because they were beating them and they were killing their baby boys. And they said, is it a small thing that you took us out of that place where there was a lot of milk and honey, everything, delicious food that we liked over there? In these verses, it talks about the problems that were caused at that time. These people like Dathan and Abiram, they were stating that Egypt was the land of milk and honey. That's what it was saying there. They accused Moses and Aaron of taking them out of that place, the place that they long to be now that Moses had taken them out in the wilderness. Well, they were praying to God for God to send a deliverer, and when he did, then they're complaining about that. It was God that had them taken out there in the wilderness, the place that they didn't like. Now look to them better and better all the time. They started thinking that Egypt wasn't so bad after all. They didn't like the idea of being slaves beaten in Egypt, and because of the taskmasters, that's why they didn't like it. But it was because of the food, the mouth-watering food, that they were not willing to crucify their flesh in order to be close to the Lord. Some people, they just don't want to be crucified. They don't want to crucify their flesh so that it could be close to the Lord. They want to have whatever they see that looks good to them. A lot of these people that are looking at other men's wives, and these women that are married that are looking at other guys, a lot of them are coming down with AIDS. Okay, and they're coming down with curses worse than AIDS because they're going to hell. These two and all their followers had completely forgotten the things that God had called them to. Obviously, Egypt was not the land of milk and honey, and it was their fault that they weren't able to go into the land of milk and honey because of the people's horrible report that came back from the land of milk and honey. 40 days they were over there, and they brought back a bad report. They said those giants are so big we could never do it. We're like grasshoppers, said to them. When people take their eyes off the Lord, they look elsewhere other than at God. They start looking at their own ideas, their philosophies, their feelings, their lusts, and they look to themselves and their own problems. They begin to lose the reasonings of the Lord, and their souls are clouded over to where their vision is gone. They become blind, and they think they're very smart. A lot of people that sin think they're very smart because they figure we're doing whatever we please and nobody knows it, except the people that we're sinning with. They are blind. They overrate problems. Doing that, if you overrate problems, they will separate you from your relationship with God, because there's no obstacle too great for God to crash through that wall. I did a piece of literature called Difficult Mountain. You let your difficulties make you lose your sight of God and His direction for your life. Well, then you will not be able to make it up that mountain. In the Bible, God says that it wouldn't be easy, that it's a cross-carrying affair. He states that we're not to carry a bed of roses or to do whatever we please, but it's we need to deny ourselves, the things, the lusts of the flesh, and our own desires, our covetousness, our satanic ambitions, and take up the cross and follow the Lord on a daily basis. Okay, so read some more there.
Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?
So this is what they were accusing Moses of. God made Moses do that. It wasn't Moses' idea. He didn't want to do it in the first place. I certainly had no ambition to serve the Lord. I was out in the world. I didn't believe in God or Jesus. Okay, then what else?
Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? we will not come up.
Yeah. Moses wanted to talk to him. Okay. The Lord had told Moses that they were not to so much as touch the belongings of the evil rebels. Don't even touch Dathan's stuff. Don't say, well, he's being swallowed up into hell. Can we have his shoes? Can we have his clothing? Can we have his tent? Can we have any silver or gold that he has in there? You know, the Lord told him not to even touch it. If they did, they would have shown sympathy to the things that they were concerned about their ambitions, their satanic ambitions, and they would show agreement with the things they believed. So Korah and Dathan and Abiram, what they were doing, and they did it directly, was challenging Moses and God. Because of this, Moses clearly got word from God, and he stated the things that God said would happen. Okay, keep reading.
And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die...
Now they're blaming Moses for what God made him do. And it's the same thing what the world government is doing today with me. They're saying that I'm brainwashing people, and I'm bringing them into the church, and what are they doing? They're brainwashing the whole world into believing that they can kill people by the millions and invade their countries with this democracy, which is nothing more than dictatorship, and they're using us. We need to pull out of the UN, okay? So what God intended to do to them, these evil rebels, the Lord did that so that everyone would have to choose between following God and Moses or Korah. Okay, so he separated them. Then go ahead. What verse are you on?
29.
Okay, then what else?
If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men.
Well, God is saying, I'm going to kill these people in a way that has never been done in history. This is something new. And if it isn't done something new here to kill all these people, Korah and all them, then it isn't the Lord. Okay, keep going.
If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me.
Korah, or you, or no one else can choose what you're going to do by yourself. It's covetousness. If it's your satanic choices, your satanic ambitions. God chooses his leaders, and Moses and Aaron were the leaders, the two rams that the great prophet Enoch told of hundreds of years before they ever came on the scene. So God gives a commandment. He gives us all a commandment. He says, do you want to be on the side of the sheep, or do you want to be on the side of the goats? The wheat or the chaff? He wants us to make a choice, and you have to make a choice whether you want to or not. Between good and evil. Not only that, whatever God says is good and evil, not what the world government says is good and evil, or Satan. Not only that, to be with godly people, you have to make a choice, or wicked people. Some people can't stand to be around godly people. It's too straight for them. They want to be bums. They want to go back out on the street. They want to go back to the ghetto. They want to go back to the slums, because that's their people. Godly people are not their people. So you have to make a choice. Or will you follow God or Satan? There shouldn't be any question. There shouldn't be any hesitation whatsoever in this regard. So far as consecrating ourselves to be committed completely to the Lord. Should there?
No.
If you're reading through this, you can see that the families of Dathan and Abiram were swallowed up into the pit. But the sons of Korah were not wiped out. I wonder why. You read on. It tells that in the chapter 26 and verse 11. I'm talking about one day later. This is chapter 16, verses 41. Just one day later, after Korah and all these who were followers of him were executed by being swallowed into the earth for complaining and grumbling and against the Almighty God, the Israelites started all over with more grumbling and complaining. It was because of these negative attitudes against the commandments of the Lord. It's amazing to me the little warts in this world that grumble against God's commandments, that they only cause them to rebel even more. Because it's in their hearts to not do the will of the Lord. They hate it more and more to bring about even greater condemnation upon themselves. More trouble, more difficulties. What this did is it ended their faith in God and in Moses and encouraged their thoughts of giving up and turning back to Egypt. This is the same thing that Lord Larkin said is going back to the world to be out there. This is a warning, everyone. The path to open rebellion against God begins with dissatisfaction. Everything's getting old. You're getting tired of serving the Lord. Doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. Something in the church dissatisfies you. Something out in the wilderness, out in the world, or in the wilderness dissatisfied them. And then they began to look narrowly at Moses and Aaron and God. They became skeptical. And then this type of attitude moved them to grumble about both God and Moses and all the different circumstances that they were going through at the time, all the circumstances that were surrounding them. So right after the grumbling and murmuring and complaining, then comes bitterness and resentment. This is followed at the last by rebellion and open hostility towards God and those that God has chosen to lead them. If any of you out in the radio land or in the churches anywhere are many times dissatisfied or skeptical, murmurers, complainers, or you're gone so far as to become bitter, you better pay strict attention to these scriptures. You say that God doesn't do that today. Well, what about these tsunamis? Look at New Orleans. Amen?
Amen.
Look at all the different catastrophes. This isn't Mother Nature. There's no such thing as that. God is... these people over there were Satan worshipers, a lot of them in New Orleans. They're living the big easy, the easy life. They're not crucifying themselves in the big easy, were they?
No.
No, they go down to Bourbon Street and let's be somebody tonight. Let's get ourselves a jug of T-Bird and be somebody, right? Some joints. Let's hit the whorehouses. You better back up. This type of rebellion or bitterness, what it does is it leads to open rebellion and separates you from God. If you're separated from God, you're lost. And if you're lost, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. And you're going to be screaming your head off throughout eternity. Anytime you make a decision to side against God and his leaders, it is a step in the very wrong direction. And that direction is letting go of God completely and making your own way through what you call life. And in reality, what it really is your death and eternal damnation. There are many people that we can take note of, those that are historical figures that might have remained anonymous if they hadn't tried to grab on to more than they could chew or more than they were called by God to do. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. But when we refuse to be content with the things that God has provided for us, God has given us, and listened to our own desires to try to, by covetousness, get other things that have been given to others by God, because we're all given by God, but be obviously or evidently deserve. If you have nothing, that's what you deserve. If you have something, that's what you deserve. When people want something that God doesn't want them to have or has never called them to do, you end up with zero. Zilch, nothing. The 16th chapter of Numbers speaks of Korah, and he was one of the Israelite leaders, and he was that kind of person. On top of this, Korah was a Levite. These are like the families of the priests. He wasn't the priest. this, but they all had jobs to do in the family of the priesthood of the Levites. This is the tribe God gave to be the priests. But there were many people like Korah who was given a position to back up the actual priest. They were to be assistants to the priest, not co-priests, but assistants to the priest in the daily function of the things done in the tabernacle. Shortly thereafter, Israel's tremendous rebellion against God, which is Numbers chapters 13 and 14, Korah was an instigator, so he began this miniature rebellion. What he did was recruited a committee of people that were grievous and were murmuring. That's what you see when people in the media start recruiting people against you. They start calling you a Hitler, a child abuser, a child molester, a person that doesn't pay taxes and all these things, to get everybody in the country angry. And then they start moving in with guns and everything and saying that you're a cult. And they're liars.
Amen.
You know, it's so easy for them to lie, and they lie all the time. Don't you remember the president says, "I did not have sex with that woman."
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Is he a liar?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And murmuring and complaining. They all confronted Moses and Aaron with their list of complaints. It renders down to these their statements. One, you are no better than anyone else. That's what it renders down to. Moses. And number two, everyone in Israel has been chosen of the Lord. No, they were called by the Lord, but not chosen. And we didn't need to obey. We don't need to obey you. This is the way that Korah was twisting the scriptures and twisting the things that the Lord said. The first two statements, in a way, were sort of true. They weren't chosen. They were called. They were chosen for Moses to deliver them, but they were not really true in the way that he was saying these things. There's always a twist to it. He was saying, he was telling them to reach a positively bad conclusion, a wrong conclusion. Moses didn't mind if he was no better than anyone else, just like I don't care if I'm any better than anyone else so far as being a leader. If God raised up another leader, that would just be fine with me. I would follow him. As a matter of fact, he didn't even want to be the leader any more than I did, or Sue. And Moses would have also agreed that all Israelites were God's chosen people. But what Korah was doing was giving a wrong application to all these things, all these truths, which was absolutely sin and condemned. Not all Israelites were chosen to lead. Only Moses was. You're God's chosen people. If, there's always an if there, if you do everything that he says, and he says to follow the leader, Moses. But if you don't want to do that, well, then you're not God's chosen people. You're a rebellious Antichrist, you're against God's word. So Korah had a hidden purpose for claiming all these things, and that was, quote, "I have as much right to be the leader of the people of Israel as you do, Moses," unquote. That's sin. That's covetousness. Amen?
Amen.
God never chose him to do that. He rose himself up. And that's very wrong. That's sin. And that's evil. And that's why he had to die. And that's why his children had to die. His wife had to die. This sin cost him not only his job, he should have been satisfied with it, and it cost him not only his position of service with the Lord that he could have enjoyed for the rest of his life, but it also cost him his life, his wife's life, his children's life, and his soul. His soul went to hell and the lake of fire. These truths, written in the scripture regarding Korah and the others, give us many warnings. One, don't let covetousness or desire for what somebody else has make you jealous or discomforted with what you already have or discontent with anything that God has already given you. And number two, don't raise yourself up above others, because those that exalt themselves shall be diminished. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Pride goeth before a fall. You exalt yourself when you attack the leaders of the ones that really have been chosen by the Lord and called by the Lord, mainly chosen. They've been given the gift to do that. Number three, don't ever use part of God's word in the wrong way in order to support what you covet. You're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you to what the Lord wants you to do and he wants you to be. You'll never find satisfaction in your own selected power and position. God wants you to work in the position that he actually tells you to do, not what you choose for yourself. Anything other than that is sin, and it's evil, and you'll pay the price for eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Now, a leader is an influential figure. During the Exodus, that was only Moses and Aaron. This Korah was mentioned among the number one men of Israel in Exodus 6. And Korah also was one of the very first Levites appointed to special service in the tabernacle. He wasn't satisfied, though. He wasn't satisfied with this. So one of his weaknesses was that he didn't appreciate or recognize this significant position that God had placed him in. He wanted more than God wanted him to have. Just like these adulterous women today. Married women wanting something else that they have not been given by God. Then when you come up against Moses, the leader, it just didn't occur to him that his fight was not against Moses, but what it was against God. So Korah allowed covetousness to blind his common sense. Covetousness, that's jealousy, that's sin, over something that somebody else has that God has given them. Now, you know, it's like Michael Jackson, who wanted to look like Diana Ross. This is what I hear. I don't know if it's true. And so he wants it so bad that he goes in and gets his face carved up, and it looks horrible. You look great before, Michael. Now, we can have goals, all right, but if they're not given to us by God, then they're nothing more than covetousness. And that's one of the Ten Commandments not to do, not to covet anything that anybody else has. Another thing, too, is if we're not happy with the things that God has given us to do, if we're discontented with it, what you're doing, or what you're going to do, is lose everything that God has given you in the first place and wind up in hell and the lake of fire. Okay, now we had some testimonials, but we didn't have time for them today, so we're going to read a little bit. We've got about 5 minutes left. Didn't get to do more of Hitler. Let's read one of the testimonials, or a couple of them if we have time here.
From Chicago, Illinois, a lady named Joyce called from Chicago, Illinois. She read your article, Difficult Mountain, in the Chicago Tribune. She said it was excellent and wants more literature and the Messiah book. She also asked to receive your audio messages.
Okay, praise the Lord. We have another one.
Yes, the next one's from Accra, Ghana. Dear Pastor, I am grateful to write you this letter. I am sending you greeting all the way from Ghana. I am very excited to tell you that through your literature and prayers, I have strength spiritually. I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior, and that He came down from paradise to come and pave the way for me and you, and died on the cross because of us. After reading through your literature entitled The Messiah and the Dry Bones, this has changed my life entirely. Though I have known God, your literature has brought me closer to the living God, and through your literature I now know that I was lost, but now I have been found. I was in the dark, but the Lord God has brought me into the light. I am therefore a son of the living God. As of now, the Bible I use, most of the chapters have torn off and are nowhere to be found, because it was given me like that. And if possible, please send me a Bible and also your booklet, The Messiah. If you will also send to me any other books that can help me to know God well, I will appreciate it. Also, two of my friends, namely Mercy and Jennifer, who have accepted Christ through your literature, also want you to send the Bibles and also some of your booklets. I am now attending Mount Calvary Cross Ministry in Accra. May the Lord God richly bless you in your ministry. Thank you for the rich teaching of the words of salvation to bring those who are lost in the wilderness or those who are in the world back to Christ. Yours faithfully, George, from Accra, Ghana.
Okay, we've got about 1 or 2 minutes here. Let's read a little bit of what Hitler had to say. God wanted everybody to know what Hitler has to say. He told me to look it up, and I did, and I was amazed. Go ahead, read it.
It is very fine to talk of international peace and international disarmament, but I am mistrustful of a disarmament in weapons of war so long as there has been no disarmament of the spirit. There has been formed in the world the curious custom of dividing peoples into so-called authoritarian states, that is, disciplined states and democratic states.
The people are against that, but we have to discipline ourselves. We have to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We can't... Okay, keep going.
In the authoritarian, that is, the disciplined states, it goes without saying that one does not abuse foreign peoples, does not lie about them, does not incite to war. But the democratic states are precisely, quote, democratic. That is, that all that can happen there. In the authoritarian states, a war, agitation, is of course impossible, for their governments are under an obligation to see to it that there is no such thing. In the democracies, on the other hand, the governments have only one duty, to maintain democracy, and that means the liberty, if necessary, to incite to war.
Right, and that's what they're doing today, is democracy is a proven thing. Even the History Channel stated that it was the Vatican that came up with the idea of democracy, and they even stated that it was dictatorship. Okay, well... it's so interesting, and he knew that. He knew that you can't, but where he messed up again, I'm going to say it, is he believed the Vatican that he should kill the Jews and the homosexuals. That's so strange, you know, that they wanted to kill homosexuals. It was to make the people think that they're not homosexuals. So in other words, the homosexual on the street they consider as dogs, it's all right for the hierarchy of the Vatican to be homosexual. Like John Paul II is a homosexual, and most of the priests are either homosexuals or bisexual. And also the first house of prostitution was the nunneries, where the nuns were the prostitutes, and they had the madams there. You can check the History Channel, they'll tell you that. Okay, and they have absolute proof on it, and we do too. We've got miles and miles of proof on that. And it's all over the, there's thousands upon thousands of books written about it. Okay, well, anyway, I see that my time is up, and I pray that you'll want to give your heart to the Lord today, give your life to Him, because there really isn't anything out in the world. Believe me, I've been around the block in the world, all over, and there wasn't anything in the world that satisfied my soul. The only thing that really gives me great satisfaction is to do these tapes, to serve the Lord, to help people in the world, to get them out of the horrible lives that they're living, and to just help whatever way it is that the Holy Spirit leads me to help. So those of you that would like to, you must be born again. It's an absolute must. You're not to join religions, because religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. So to receive salvation is very simple. Just say this prayer to the Lord, and He will save your soul. You'll have salvation. So say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me. And I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." I just praise and thank the Lord, read the Bible, and stay close to the Lord. Stay close to Him so that you can be influenced by His holiness to be holy yourself, for without holiness no man shall see God. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 307. Please specify whether you want a audio tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo inviting you to tune in again tomorrow so that you can hear the conclusion, not the complete conclusion. We're going to go on with this for quite some time. But here's my wife, my late wife, Susie, the greatest woman, godly woman that I've ever known in my whole life. And bar none, or any man, I've never known anyone that knew the Lord like she did. To sing with J.D. Summer and the Stamps Quartet, "The Robe of Calvary."
Yes, kings wear robes of gold and velvet. Oh, but soon their glory fades away. But the King of Kings in heaven, he wore a homespun robe that day. The soldiers gambled for his garment, while the sun turned dark above. But the men, yes, the same men who crucified him were forgiven by his love. those who saw his robe knew torment. If they lived by sin and shame. But if they, yes, even they, renounced their evil, they too were welcomed by the Lord. His robe was woven by his mother. Blessed faith in every thread. The Christ who wore it lives forever. My Lord and my God, he has risen from the dead.